Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Today we are moving on to talk about the third way in which we can learn to treasure the Old Testament as much as we do the New Testament. As we learn how valuable the Hebrew Bible is to each of us, I have said that first, Jesus had such a positive attitude towards the Hebrew Scriptures. They were his Bible. Second, that to understand Jesus, we have to really understand him from the Jewish perspective. And therefore, we have to comprehend the Hebrew Bible, which is the Bible that influenced the man, Jesus Christ. If you missed what has been said thus far, can I encourage you to go to the God Is website and get caught up by listening to the free God Is podcast? You can find that easily at godisministry.org. Download it, subscribe to it, get it automatically on your phone and listen on the go. Do not miss an episode. The God Is podcast, available at godisministry.org. Let's keep moving and get to the third and fourth ways in which we learn to appreciate all that the Hebrew Scriptures do for us. Third, what we call the Old Testament provides for us the theological key for opening the door to the New Testament. A classic example of this presents itself in the life of Abraham, whom we are coming to. When we get into his life, we will learn that Abraham had faith in God. God said Abraham was a righteous man because he believed in God by faith. Well, in the New Testament, we learn repeatedly that we are also justified by our faith. One of the key doctrines or teachings of the New Testament is justification by faith alone in Christ alone. And yet, in order to understand that, we have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis in the Torah. Genesis chapter 15 holds the key that opens the door to the faith that pleases God. So that again and again, the Apostle Paul and other New Testament writers will cite Abraham in Genesis. And what else do the Hebrew Scriptures address that carries on in the New Testament? Here is a brief list. Monotheism. There is only one God. The creation of the world, Genesis 1 and 2. The fall into sin, Genesis 3. The grace of God for sinners, also in Genesis 3, as we have studied here on God Is. And then the giving of God's law, for example, the Ten Commandments, ethics and morals. All of this is written about in the Hebrew Bible, and we need to know it to grasp what the New Testament is about. And I also must mention that the Messiah, priesthood, atonement, and the gospel are all written about extensively in Genesis through Malachi. Several years ago as a pastor, I taught the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ in our church. And I tell you, I could not do adequate preparation, and the congregation could not accurately interpret Revelation without a working knowledge of at least Ezekiel, Daniel, and Isaiah. We just kept flipping backwards in our Bibles from the last book of the New Testament to these books in the Old Testament. Back and forth we went again and again. This makes intuitive sense, right? The Bible should be read chronologically, from front to back, meaning that a reader knows Ezekiel, for example, before the reader gets to Revelation. And yet I had to stop and interpret Ezekiel because almost all the Christians in the class had never really read, let alone comprehended, what the prophet Ezekiel was writing. Here is another quick example of what I mean. Many of you will know Romans 3, verse 23. If you have been a Christian for a while, this is most likely one of the great and sobering truths you have memorized. Paul says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And you might think that is a purely New Testament truth, right? Wrong. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 8. Yes, 1 Kings of all things. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 46. "There is no man who does not sin." The reality that everyone sins was true in the Hebrew Scriptures long before it was written in the New Testament. And this little gold nugget from Marv Wilson, quote, "The idea of sin as falling short is a thoroughly Jewish idiom. Paul's theology is not new," end quote. My third point to you is this. The Hebrew Bible provides for us the theological key for opening the door to the New Testament. The more you study God's Word, the more clear this will become to you if you do not know this already. Now let's move on to discuss my fourth and final insight into why we must plumb the depths of the Hebrew Bible. And this last point will veer slightly away from the Scriptures themselves, so that we can talk about other early Jewish sources that assist us greatly in developing a clear interpretation for what we read in our New Testament. In other words, there are certain words or phrases, and there are certain events that take place outside the books of Genesis through Malachi that are essential for us to know because they explain something Jesus says or does in the Gospels. I have two examples. And this will take a little time to explain, so I hope you will stick with me and give this your attention. It's intriguing. First example, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, this is in the middle of Jesus' masterful Sermon on the Mount. "There never was a preacher like Jesus, and my, could he preach." He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." That was Matthew 5, 43 through 44. And we may be tempted to think that the saying, "you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy," comes straight out of the Old Testament. And to be sure, the first part does. We talked about this yesterday. Love your neighbor. Leviticus 19, 18. But the second part, hate your enemy, does not come from the Old Testament. So then, what is the origin of that saying? Here, we turn to the Dead Sea Scrolls. Let me briefly tell you what these are. As the history goes, in 1946, so not that long ago, two young Bedouin boys were searching for a lost sheep or goat in a cave along the northwestern shore of the Dead Sea. One of these boys threw a stone into a nearby cave and heard the sound of pottery shattering. This led to the discovery of the first seven scrolls in what became known, what was labeled as Cave 1. All of this takes place at Qumran, which hosts a series of these caves. Qumran is slightly southeast of Jerusalem, a drive of just 35 kilometers or 21 miles. The caves can be visited today at Qumran Park. Anyway, in these caves, ultimately over 100,000 fragments of papyrus and leather made of sheep and goat skin pieced together over 900 documents. This library contains both biblical and non-biblical material. In terms of the Bible, the highest number of Old Testament fragments come from the Psalms, Deuteronomy, Isaiah, there's a complete scroll of Isaiah, Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. In my research, I found that there are 87 manuscripts that contain text from the Torah, 54 manuscripts with text from the prophets, and 67 with material from the rest of the Old Testament writings. And so, these Dead Sea Scrolls are of great importance to Jews and Christians alike. The texts found of the Hebrew Bible at Qumran date from the 3rd century BC to the 1st century AD, so this is much closer to the time of the composition of the scripture, and what was found on these scrolls supports what is said in the Bible. It is amazing how God works, always sustaining what is written in His infallible word. Let me bring in our friend Marvin Wilson and quote from him now as we link the Dead Sea Scrolls to Jesus' words in Matthew 5. He will refer to one of the scrolls that includes material that is not biblical, but historical, telling us what the people who wrote these scrolls believed. Quote, "The people of Qumran had withdrawn to the wilderness to await the end of the age. They were the sons of light, equipping themselves through intense discipline, rituals of purity, and scriptural study to overcome their enemy, the sons of darkness. In their writing, the manual of discipline reads, 'To love all the sons of light, each according to his lot in the counsel of God, and to hate all the sons of darkness, each according to his guilt in the vengeance of God.'" End quote. Here is the main point to capture. When Jesus cites the line, "hate your enemy," he is referring to what was a belief in his day, not in the days of the Hebrew Bible. The Dead Sea Scrolls help us understand the reference point for Christ in then reversing what his followers were to do, not to hate, but to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The discovery of the scrolls and the determination by scholars to see what they say actually sheds light on what Jesus means by what he says. The Dead Sea Scrolls assist us greatly in developing a clear interpretation for what we read in our New Testament. This is our first example. The second example comes tomorrow, right here on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.